Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8, for our closing message. Give you a moment to find the passage. Luke 8. How many have it?
Amen.
Good. And we're just going to dip into the passage at verse number 18 to lift out the words of exhortation and warning from the lips of our ever-worthy and wonderful Savior. Verse number 18. Here's what the Lord warns. Take heed. Therefore, how, next two words, how ye hear. Now, if the Lord had said, take heed, therefore, what ye hear, I think I might conclude without doing violence to Scripture that that would be a warning to the speaker. What is being said? What a solemn responsibility. Your missionaries, including Margie and me, and these wonderful missionaries who've been with us together in this week, folk, we're handling the blessed book of God, not just the book of the month, it's the book of the ages.
Amen.
It's the source, the seed, if you will, of the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So it's very important that you be praying that your missionaries be faithful in what they or we give out. And that's that it be the true gospel. Even if an angel were to preach some other gospel, says missionary Paul, let him be anathema.
That's right.
Yeah. One gospel. But that's not what it says here. It doesn't say, take heed therefore what ye hear. It says, read it with me, why don't we together as a chorus, verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. The responsibility with this, I think, is on the listener.
Yep.
Not the speaker, the listener. I'm persuaded that any number of immortal, eternity-bound souls have plunged into perdition and have gone sinking under, if you will, the fiery waves for no less a reason than slippery, irresponsible, inattentive listening when they were somewhere where the word of life, the saving message of the gospel was going forth, and they weren't carefully paying, what's the next word?
Attention!
Oh, I can't underscore sufficiently the solemnity and the importance of what our Lord is warning. Take heed how ye hear. Stories told of three women, guilty gals they were. You know what they were doing, according to the story? In an adjoining room, across the plaster wall, I don't know if it was a motel, there was a couple engaged in animated conversation. And these three guilty gals, guilty of eavesdropping, just couldn't withhold their curiosity. They had their ears pressed to the wall. After a protracted time of that kind of guilty exercise, they pulled away, and the three began to discuss what they were sure they had heard next door. Gal number one. Well, obviously, they just returned from a visit to the municipal zoological gardens. They've been to the zoo. I heard her telling her husband something about a trained deer. Ah, you missed it, said gal number two. The couple next door must be musical. I distinctly heard them discussing something about a trained ear. The third gal says, you two are wide of the mark. Apparently, the lady next door is laying plans to make a visit to a neighboring state, visit with friends, and she was asking her husband something about leaving on the train, dear. Well, the fact is, all three of them missed it. Friend wife next door had already been to some neighboring state for a visit among relatives. Fresh from her return, she was asking her husband if it had rained here. Take heed how ye hear. I'm sure you heard about the desperate couple, poor wife was prepared to throw in the towel. The only answer to their marital problems, as she thought, was divorce. And so she appears before the judge in his black gown, a robe, and he looks her over and says, "Well, what's your problem?" "Well, we just aren't making it, Your Honor." He looks at her and says, "Well, do you have a grudge?" "No, sir. We have a carport." "Well, do you think you have grounds?" "Oh, yes, sir. We have 5.5 acres. "Does he beat you up?" "Oh, no, sir. I let him sleep in." "Well," says the judge, "but what seems to be your real problem?" "Well, Your Honor, we just don't seem to be able to communicate." Folk, may I say something to you? The Lord of the harvest knows how to communicate. And the breakdown in communication is not owing to the Lord of the harvest not speaking in accents that are plain and easy to hear and understand. The breakdown in communication between the Lord of the harvest, who is saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" It's not the communicator that is the speaker's problem. It's the hearer's problem. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. I used to be a New York Yankees, I must confess it, growing up a New York Yankees fan. Any Yankee fans there? Oh, hi. Well, you'll have to forgive me. I was a diehard Yankees fan until, of all things, little old Phoenix, Arizona. I say little. I can remember when Phoenix was 55,000-60,000 population. We recently, in the last year or two, have inched past the great city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Phoenix is the fifth largest city in the United States of America. And so, 10 years ago, was it? 10 or 11 now, maybe 12. Phoenix was granted a franchise of Major League, National League Baseball. So obviously, you'll have to understand, you Yankee fans, that I root for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Somebody asked me while we were here, "Have you been introduced to a Diamondback?" Well, I know we have our share of rattlesnakes. That's what a Diamondback is, a rattlesnake. And I think I said yes. I didn't mean that I'd actually run into a rattlesnake. There's a little confession. I meant was, I know what they are. And I've seen them and heard them, they're rattled, but thank God I haven't gotten any closer than that. I mentioned the Yankees or the Mets or whoever you root for. How many of you, let me ask this question, know what a baseball in the day after the game in your local newspaper, there will appear what we call the box score of the preceding game? Anybody know what a box score is? You don't know what a box score is? No? I can't believe it. Well, the report in the sports section of the newspaper will appear, the name, listing the names of the players, how many runs, how many hits, how many errors, all of that sort of thing. It recapitulates the statistical account of the preceding game. That's the box score. Forget it, I'm just going to give you a box score of how in this very section of Luke, the Holy Spirit gives us, if you will, a kind of a box score of the importance of hearing. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. All right? How many of you are ready? Do you have your Bible there ready?
Yes, sir.
We're going to run down a box score. Brother Dave, do you have your Bible there? Open it up. Atta boy.
All right.
Well, that's the first time I've ever told a Marine anything. I'm glad you made it back from Boston. Good to have you here. All right. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. That's verse number 18. Drop down to verse number 21. Same chapter. He answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren. This is our Lord clarifying this. My mother and my brethren are these which what? Hear the word of God and do it. Go to chapter 9, verse number 35. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Next two words, come on.
Hear
him. Chapter 9, verse 44, just across the page. Let these sayings sink down into your what?
Ears.
Go to chapter 10 with me, please. Verse 16, as we're tracing the box score on hearing. Verse 16, he that heareth you, heareth me. Verse 24, same chapter. I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. And to what? Hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Look across to verse 39, same chapter. Came to pass, verse 38, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Read the balance of the verse with me. And heard his word. Go with me, please, to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. Came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice, said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that, come on,
hear
the word of God and keep it. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 15. Luke 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at eat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Chapter 14 and verse 35, the last half of the verse. He that hath ears to hear, read with me. Let him hear. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 29. 16, verse, well, let's start at verse 27. He said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The rich man and Lazarus. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Read with me. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And our Lord responds, he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's go to chapter 19, verses 47 and 48. 19, 47 and 48. 19, 47 and 48. And Jesus taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do. Read for, with me the balance. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. Anybody with me that that's a pretty full box score of the importance in that section on hearing? heareth. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Let's go back to a very pivotal chapter in the four Gospels. This is Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. We'll begin at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the sea side. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And I'll not take time to read the balance of the account of the sower, or the soils, or the seed. The question immediately rises, what is this all about, this wayside hearer, where the seed is gobbled up by the fowls? Well, we don't have to speculate on what would be the true or legitimate interpretation. The Lord gives it to us on a silver platter. Look across from verse 4 and 5 to verse number 18. Again, here's the word here. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, let's be careful about jumping to a conclusion that the wayside hearer's problem is intellectual, because you read and understandeth it not. Notice, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then, if I'm not mistaken, the parallel account in Mark says immediately, instead of then, immediately cometh the wicked one, that's Satan, and catcheth away that which was sown, what are the next three words? In his heart. So I'm suggesting to you rather candidly and openly, the wayside hearer's real problem is not intellectual. It wasn't sown in his head. It was sown where?
In his heart.
In his heart. And because, I repeat without apology, of slippery, irresponsible, careless hearing, that instantly gave the devil what he wanted, his advantage, to somehow steal away that seed, lest it get down and bear fruit, come up and bear fruit. Inattentiveness, inattention, not taking heed how he hears, gives the devil his opportunity. You know what some of the young people do, even in good gospel fundamental Baptist churches. They're leafing through the latest pictures of their boyfriend or girlfriend or their... Who knows what they're doing? And it isn't just the teenagers. Older people can be thinking, did I turn off the oven or not? And before you know it, all sorts of other thoughts are given place so that the vital message of God's Word goes right over the head of the hearer. Now, let me give you, if I may, a translation out of one of my Spanish Bibles and see if it doesn't throw some light and help you on verse number 19. It's a translation from Torres Amat. Here it comes. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and the Spanish Bible of Torres Amat reads, and pays not attention to it. Did you get that? Pays not attention to it. Immediately, as Mark would put it, the devil comes with his black winged air force out of hell to strike the seed and scatter it so that it doesn't get down and come up in fruit-bearing life everlasting. Yep. Let's go now from Matthew 13 to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. How many have Acts 16? We'll begin our reading at verse 6. Quite a missionary section here. When they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, Lord of the harvest, said no. I don't want you. Apparently, the Spirit of grace got the jump on Horace Greeley. Wasn't it Horace Greeley who said, go west, young man, go west? Yeah. Paul and his missionary team had laid, I'm sure, some very carefully laid out strategy, as missionary outreach would have it, to go to Asia. And God said, no, I don't want you to go to Asia. I want you to go west. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and we were singing this, I think, tonight. How many remember in one of the songs we were singing, we have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light. Remember that? That's what we're just about to read. Verse number 9. This division appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we, this is Luke using that word, endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And he was right on. Spirit of God said, I want you to negotiate this little section of water and establish a beachhead on the European continent. And aren't we grateful that that ever happened?
Amen.
Many of us, our ancestors came from Europe. And how wonderful that missionary Paul and his traveling companions were faithful and obedient. That vision in the middle of the night wasn't that they'd stayed too long at a Papa John's pizza parlor. No, it was the blessed Lord of the harvest communicating to them his strategy, his plan. And they obeyed. Let's keep reading. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. How many remember that this first beachhead on the European continent, in this very 16th chapter of the book of Acts, some wonderful things happened as the missionaries were faithful and obedient to the leading of the Lord. Demon-possessed young woman who was making all sorts of money for her masters, and she was crying out, these are the servants of the Most High God. And finally Paul said, we've had enough of endorsements from the devil. And he turned and cast that demon out, and of course her masters were not too happy about losing their money-making gal. And so soon enough, Paul and Silas, obedient to the Lord of the harvest, and where do they find themselves next? In the whose gal? Their back streaming blood, pulp, they've been whipped, and their feet, their hands are pinched in the stocks. And it's midnight. I got a question for you, beloved. What are those two missionaries doing at midnight with their backs streaming blood and in pain? Somebody says, well, they're probably asking God, why would you let us have to suffer that? No. Somebody says, well, I suppose they're praying. You're right. But there's something else they're doing. Come on. Singing! And they've got quite an audience. All the prisoners are listening. I think they had a revival at midnight. Somebody says, what makes you think that there was a revival? Well, shortly thereafter, the rumble of the earthquake and the shackles off of the prisoners, they could have darted to, they'd probably been dreaming about something like this ever happening, and they had their liberty to go, and they don't go. Paul said, don't do yourself any harm to the jailer who's about to commit hara-kiri, falling on his sword. Don't harm yourself. We're all here. How do you explain that with the doors all wide open, they haven't left? Well, I think they've been held captive by the grace of God.
Yeah.
I like to call Paul and Silas in their duet songs the first eminently successful sacred concert ever performed on the European continent. Somebody says, successful concert? Brought the house down. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
But my main reason to bring you to Acts 16, right here in this section, beginning at verse 12 again, to Philippi they came, the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted hither. Don't you like this about missionary Paul? He'll stand on a street corner and preach if it's a few passers-by, or in a marketplace. If there are hundreds there, he can command their attention. Or if it's just a handful of women by the riverside. Missionary Paul's faithful. He's not there as a tourist to look over the city of Philippi. He's there as an ambassador of the courts of heaven.
Yeah.
He's there to preach. And even if it's just a little cluster of women, pious women, they needed to be saved. He begins to preach. For a choir, the singing stream at his back. For a pulpit, the river bank. For a cathedral dome, the overarching blue of the Philippian sky. And while that handful of women began to pay attention, Paul proclaims the message of the gospel. That's a missionary's responsibility. And it's God's responsibility to do something about it. Notice what it says. Verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, she was an enterprising female entrepreneur, a female businesswoman, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, but she wasn't saved, heard us. Now, read with me the next statement. Whose heart the Lord opened. Folk, that's what you need to pray for us as your missionaries.
Yeah.
That as we preach, God will touch hearts.
Amen.
Open hearts, not just ears. That's important. Take heed how ye hear. But then the heart needs to be prepared of the Lord and opened up. And whose heart the Lord opened, that's God's doing. What was Lydia's responsibility? That she attended, there's the word, she paid attention while missionary Paul was preaching. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her what? Oh, thank God for household salvation. Somebody says, you believe God wants whole families to be saved? I know He doesn't. It's a biblical doctrine all the way through the Bible. Somebody says, well, you can only be saved one by one, individual. That's true. But the biblical doctrine of household salvation is a wonderful doctrine. Believe on the Lord Jesus. You've got it right here in this chapter, Acts 16. The Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Come on. And thy house. And it happened to the glory of God.
Yeah.
And she was baptized in her household. And that home of Lydia became, if you will, the initial beachhead for the gospel on the European continent, if you will. And I like to think of Lydia's open heart. The Lord opened her heart that she attended unto the things preached by Paul and became a new creature in Christ, if you will. That open heart of Lydia I see as a kind of arch of triumph through which the irrepressible and dramatic march of the gospel came swinging around from Jerusalem and the Near East and across that section of water, and through Lydia's open heart on and on and on in a westerly direction until it reached America.
Amen.
And it reached you and me, and aren't we grateful?
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Have you heard enough already tonight to agree with me when our Lord warns, take heed therefore how ye hear, that that's something very important?
Amen.
Somebody says, what does this have to do with climaxing, with concluding a missions conference at our annual missionary week here at Bible Baptist Church? It has all sorts of things to do with it. Somebody says, well, don't you know, Brother Mercado, that the glory days of missions, Adoniram Judson and David Livingston and so many, those glory days of missions are over. We're in the Laodicean period of church history. A colon. I understand all of that, but may I say to you humbly and yet urgently, the dearth of new missionary recruits to take up the places of some of us who are getting along in years, the shortage of new missionary ambassadors to the fields of planet Earth is not to be misunderstood on the basis of the Lord of the harvest no longer calling.
Yeah. Right.
It's not that he isn't calling, it's that too many of his precious blood-bought children in our churches have taken the phone off the hook.
That's right.
Oh. He's calling. He's pressing upon us. Will you give? Will you do something this year by faith? Launch out into your faith promise giving such as you've never done it before. Time is running out. This is a year to give as you've never given before. Amen. This is a year to say with Isaiah, yes, Lord, you're calling, and here am I. Send me.
Amen.
He is calling. But tragically, altogether, too many of his dear people aren't paying. Come on. Attention.
That's right.
Some are half-heartedly listening, but they're listening without not only paying attention, but intention. James would say we're to be not only hearers, but doers.
Yes.
Of the word. And frosting on the cake, if we as God's people from Sunday to Sunday, as your dear pastor preaches and teaches the word of the living God, and you're paying not only attention, but intention, you intend to do whatever God speaks to you from his word and wants you to do, you'll be listening not only with attention and intention, the frosting on the cake is you'll be listening with retention. You'll retain, it'll become part and parcel of your life.
Yeah.
Your heartbeat, and before you know it, you'll be on the go for God.
Amen.
Now, granted, what I'm about to conclude with is not Shakespearean caliber, but it certainly has a message with which I would like to conclude this conference. 10 future missionaries heard God's call divine. One married wrongly. That left only 9. 9 future missionaries. They could hardly wait. Mama needed one, though. That left only 8. 8 future missionaries bound for God in heaven. One got to making money. That left only 7. 7 future missionaries. If only each one sticks. One lost out completely. That left only 6. 6 future missionaries for the Lord alive. One decided for the homeland. That left only 5. 5 future missionaries wait an open door. One grew tired of waiting. That left only 4. 4 future missionaries bound for eternity. One no longer willing. That left only 3. 3 future missionaries for the need. How few! One the board rejected. That left only 2. 2 future missionaries, a daughter and a son. One developed ulcers. That left only 1. 1 future missionary. Thank the Lord for him. He refused to ever let the vision dim. Body, soul, spirit, he to God did yield. Now for years he's labored on the mission field. God in heaven rejoices, blessed child of mine, you have done my will. But what about the 9? Would you bow your heads, please, for prayer? Our heads are bowed. Our hearts are tender and open. I would like to ask a question. How many of you would say, Missionary Mercado and other missionaries here, could it be that the Lord is speaking to my heart about enlisting in the service of the King? Enlisting, and with Isaiah saying, here am I, send me. Could it be that the Lord has in mind to set me apart to go to Africa, to go to China, to go to Japan, to go to Russia, to go to Australia, to go to Mexico, wherever the Lord of the harvest might have in mind for you? Would you be willing at the close of these days to gather to say, pray for me, Brother Dick. I want to be willing. I'm not sure just what field he has in mind, or exactly just what type of missionary ministry, but helping to get out the soul-saving message of the gospel. I know that's what it's all about. And if he can take someone who's not all that promising on the human level, it would seem, but if what he wants is not necessarily great ability along human lines, he wants availability. Are you available? Would you be available tonight and say, Brother, pray for me. I believe God is dealing with my heart, and I want to be faithful. I want to be willing to say yes to the Lord. Here am I. Lord, send me, use me. Are there several of you who would lift a hand and say, pray for me. I want to be obedient to the heavenly calling. Anyone like that? Let me see your hand while we wait. Yes, God bless you. Numbers of you. Yes, amen. God bless you. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, God has spoken to me, not just tonight, Brother Dick, but in recent days, and especially this faith promise offering, and I don't want to shortchange the Lord or defraud him of that for which he's paid such an exorbitant price. I need to recognize I belong to him. Everything I am, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, everything I have, including my bank account and savings account and you name it, what's left of the Wall Street, if you're into all of that, whatever it is, I want the Lord to have his way. How many of you would say, pray for me along that I would be faithful and obedient with my funds? Let me see your hands. God bless you. Yes, yes. Put them down. How many of you would say, yes, I do pray, but I need to pray with more fervor and fidelity? I need to really get behind our missionaries with prayer. Pray that, yes, God bless you, God bless you, yes. Father, we pause just now as we come to the close of this conference. We recognize that you are speaking. You are speaking. Help us to not take the phone off the hook. Help us, Lord, to hear, to take heed how we hear. And to say with Samuel of old, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Oh, Lord, speak to these dear ones. You've seen their hands, but more importantly, you see their hearts.
Yes.
And you want to work a work that would redound to your name's praise and glory. And so as the pastor comes now to direct us in these closing moments of an altar call to say yes to thee, to respond, having heard with attention and intention, may we come with bowed knee before thee and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me, use me in whatever way you as the Lord of the harvest would want to use me. We ask it with thanksgiving in the name and to the glory of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.